and we're going to talk a little NFL. More importantly, though, our friend from Cold Hard Football Facts, Kerry J. Byrne, joining us. Starting with last night, the Saints getting a victory on the road, and to me, the most telling moment, the most important moment, was a call that wasn't called. Matt Ryan getting sacked by Akeem Hicks, not Akeem Nicks, as others have stated. He's a receiver. But it looked strikingly similar to the Ahmad Brooks hit on Drew Brees on Sunday that was flagged. This one wasn't flagged. Now, I didn't think that it should have been a penalty on Sunday, so I'm not upset that it wasn't called. I'm just curious what you make of all of this. It almost seems as if the NFL and the referees have a vested interest in helping the Saints.
I wouldn't go that far. What I do think is NFL coach. I mean, NFL officials right now. The NFL right now is suffering kind of an identity crisis, Patrick. I hate to say it, but you know they're walking a fine line between trying to temper the sport, right? So they don't have all the lawsuits, and so they're on all the head injuries, which you know is a good thing. You don't want people being injured if you can prevent it. But at the other end of the spectrum, if they go too far, they're going to ruin the sport. Part of the appeal of football is the violence. It's the hits. That's why we admire these guys. They're putting themselves on the line physically each and every Sunday. And, you know, right now there's times where they seem to go too far protecting certain players, specifically quarterbacks, like they seem to do with Drew Brees last Sunday. And then last night, the same play apparently, perhaps not as violent a hit, and now they're not throwing the flag. I think the officials, it's part of an identity crisis on what should be a penalty and what should not. On plays that clearly were never a penalty until very recently.
It almost seems as if the defenseless quarterback rule only applies to, like, the top five quarterbacks. I mean, I'm not suggesting that the NFL is actually telling officials what to do, but human nature takes over, and it almost seems like, you know, if that hit on Drew Brees Sunday, if that happens to Kellen Clemens this coming Sunday in the Rams-Bears game, I don't know that it gets called. I don't think it does.
Matt Ryan's also considered a kind of a high-profile quarterback, and that might have been called last night. I mean, he's not a top-five guy, but to me, it comes down to the NFL officials aren't really sure how to call things. I think there's a crisis of confidence in what they do. Because, again, that play on Drew Brees was hit violently on Sunday, okay? I mean, that was a violent hit, but he was hit in the shoulder pads. We joked this week on Cold Hard Football Facts that the zone in which you can hit quarterbacks now is smaller than the strike zone in baseball.
It seems like it.
You can't hit him, you can't hit him in the knees. You can't hit him in the shoulder pads, apparently. That's what the officials told us on the Drew Brees hit by the 49ers. I mean, if you can only hit the guy in the torso, then, I mean, that's how far are we from played football, Patrick?
How far are we? I don't know. It's crazy to even discuss. Let's get into the games real quick. Carolina, a team that you guys have been not necessarily on the bandwagon. You've been pumping up the tires for that bandwagon with your quality stats, power rankings.
Yep.
They're coming off two huge wins. They're 7-3. They travel to Miami, a team we all know the turmoil there. Carolina, as much as, and I buy it that they're legit, but I almost see this game as coming off two big wins, the short week. Is it a trap game for the Panthers?
Well, you know, I mean, by definition, it's a trap game opportunity. If they lose, it looks like a trap game. But listen, Carolina is legit. They're number three right now on our quality stats power rankings. They were number one, actually, 2 weeks ago. And we said, but they're only 5-3. We said they have to find some statistical equilibrium between their record and their rankings. Now, those rankings were pumped up by playing a soft schedule. They've won two hard-fought games against two quality teams. They dropped a little in the rankings, but that's fine. That's going to happen when you play tough opponents. But they're a very good team. They're good at everything, Patrick. They're in the top 10 in 20 of our 23 quality stats. We use to size up teams at Cold Hard Football Facts Insider. That's pretty phenomenal to be good at everything. This is a very good football team, the number one defense in football. And, they could lose this game at the NFL, but they are clearly a better team. And Miami's going to have a lot of trouble moving the ball against the Panthers.
What's your quick take on here locally here in St. Louis? The Bears travel to the Rams, and it's the battle of two backup quarterbacks. I'm surprising myself that I'm saying this, but I actually expect this to be a well-played game.
For what reason? What's your mindset there?
Well, I think the Rams have played a lot better with Kellen Clemens as a team since they've started running the ball a lot more. It's not just the total yardage that Stacey can get. It's the threat to run that's just as important. His most recent game, 26 carries, 62 yards. So, you know, statistically, it doesn't look that great, but it was still good enough. And the Bears are vulnerable against the run. So I'm thinking, at least from the Rams' perspective, maybe it's just hopeful optimism. I think that they. I think this is a winnable game for St. Louis. What say
well,
you?
It's too bad St. Louis doesn't play in the AFC South, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, their three best games are against the Jaguars, obviously a bad team, but they beat up the Texans, they beat up the Colts. That's the problem. They're in too tough a division. Carolina's a little. I mean, St. Louis is a little tough to figure out because of kind of their up and down performance. They're a slight favorite. I mean, obviously being at home is a bit of that. I do like Clemens. I think he's been playing fine. They're a middle of the road team in terms of the quality that play their quarterback. The issue here is that the Bears can strike from anywhere. Kind of surprising. The Bears are third in the NFL in total team yards, which is not just offensively. We look at all yards you gain. If you return an interception 90 yards to a touchdown, we count that. If you return a kick, 25 yards or 100 yards, whatever it might be, we count those. We call it total team yards. The Bears are a very explosive team. They're number three in total team yards this year. And I think they present, they're always a unique matchup because it's those one or two plays they make per game that maybe other teams don't make that win them games. And when they don't make those plays, they lose games. A winnable game for St. Louis, but it all comes down to kind of that big play potential. Can they rein in that ability of the Bears to strike from anywhere?
Kerry J. Byrne from Cold Hard Football Facts joining us here on The People's Show on CBS Sports 920 and InsideSTL.com. Kerry, you took part in the Forward Pass of Football Life episode. Everything go well as far as what you heard from people who saw it?
Yeah, the NFL Network, it debuted on the NFL Network Tuesday night, part of their, Football Life series, the history of the Forward Pass. It was really cool. The NFL films, everyone loves. And the NFL films are like pizza, right? Everybody loves it.
We actually talked about pizza a lot earlier on in the show because it is such a great food. There's no such thing as bad pizza.
Exactly.
Just bad people who make pizza.
And there's no such thing as a bad NFL film production. If folks haven't seen it, check it out. NFL Films, The Football Life, The Forward Pass. And we just talk a lot about the evolution of the game. We see Jay, and it's very patriotic, Patrick, because it's about why American football and only American football, I guess Canadian football too, but how it evolved in here in North America, and that the difference between, the football we play and the football they play in rugby or in soccer, overseas, is that we throw the ball downfield. It's an aerial assault that they don't do in other forms of football, so it's kind of a uniquely American patriotic look. At our national game.
And as you pointed out, as the episode points out, the forward pass actually was born, according to history, here in St. Louis.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. I didn't get a chance to. I saw the episode. I can't remember if they mentioned that in the episode, did they?
It was fleeting. It wasn't like
it was fleeting, yeah. And that's the point that the University of St. Louis, and I forget the coach's name, I'm sorry if it's off my head, but in the early 1900s, was utilizing the forward pass with great effect, but. What's considered the kind of the game-changing moment was in 1913, in November 1913, this was the 100th year anniversary, when Notre Dame went to Army, then the premier football program in America, and obviously right outside New York City, and Notre Dame used a forward pass to score five touchdown passes in 1913 to beat the Army team 35-13, and that was the moment where the forward pass became kind of a national story, where the New York media saw this, and really, that's what really changed the game.
Nice little segue. Speaking of the forward pass, Philip Rivers has been one of the most efficient quarterbacks this year getting the ball down the field. Chargers travel to Arrowhead Stadium. The Chiefs coming up that first loss of the season. What do you expect to see in this game?
How about this? Philip Rivers having the second best passing season in football right now behind Peyton Manning. And nobody knows it because he played with one of the worst defenses in football. San Diego, a very good offense, a very bad defense, one of the worst in football going against, which still... the first or second best defense in football in the Chiefs. Kansas City is just a better all-around team. They're a smarter team. They're the number one team on our intelligence index, our measure of situational football. And I just think Kansas City is just a better all-around team, and it's one they should win. But it should be an interesting one because pressure now is on Kansas City. If they lose this game, they're in deep trouble. They kind of have to. They really need to win that Broncos game to kind of secure. A number one seed. So there's a lot of pressure on Kansas City now to win a game that they should win.
How about Tampa Bay at Detroit? And I bring this up just only because Tampa Bay's played very well the last 2 weeks. Any chance for an upset in this game?
Absolutely. I wouldn't I wouldn't envision it. I mean, I wouldn't predict it. But Detroit's a very big favorite in this game. The number seems a little high. They were a 9-point favorite as of yesterday. Listen, the NFL is a very simple game, Patrick. It's all about the play of your quarterback. And the key to Tampa's resurgence has been the quality play of rookie QB Mike Glennon. 114 passer rating in November, completing 71% of his passes, throwing 5 TDs against just 1 interception. And the Buccaneers have played very well in those games. They almost beat Seattle in Seattle. They lost in overtime. They beat the Dolphins. They beat the Falcons, all with Mike Glennon at quarterback. I think the Tampa Bay, if anything, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have maybe found a quarterback in the future.
Interesting stuff. Indianapolis at Arizona. Arizona 6-4, and pretty tough at home. What do you see in this game?
The thing with Arizona is, you know, Carson Palmer has not really kind of lived up to what they expected. But this is a very good defensive football club. Number 6 in defensive, what we call a defensive quarterback rating. Number 10 in defensive passer rating. They're number 2 in rush yards per attempt defensively. Number 4 in our defensive hog index, our measure of every defensive front. Number 4 in defensive rusher rating. And number 8 in scoring defense. It's a rather formidable defensive unit. And by the way, Andrew Luck is like considered the next great young quarterback. We don't buy that. We know he's a big name. We know he's a smart guy. We know he has some late season, you know, late game magic. But right now, he's 14th in passing yards per attempt, 14th in offensive passer rating, and those are big improvements over last year. He right now is an average quarterback. That's what he is, an average quarterback, and he's going to have a tough time against the Cardinals defense. I think this is a game Arizona can win at home.
Cowboys at the Giants. 3 weeks ago, this game would have looked like garbage, but now Cowboys 5-5, Giants 4-6, and the Giants are favored at home. What do you expect to see in this one?
Well, listen, you know, who would have thought that the Giants would be in the middle of the NFC's playoff picture after their 0-6? They won 4 straight. They're looking good. Right now, you know, Tony Romo's a lightning rod in Dallas, but the Cowboys in their last game against the Saints gave up a franchise record 625 yards of offense.
Goodness.
The worst in the history of Dallas Cowboys franchise, one of the worst in the history of football. The Dallas Cowboys in 2 of their last 3 games have suffered 2 of the worst defensive performances ever. They gave up 623 yards to the Lions just a couple weeks ago. And then 2 games later, 625 yards to the Saints. They can't stop anybody, and so the people like to blame Tony Romo, but nobody, Johnny Unitas, Joe Montana, Tom Brady, and Peyton Manning couldn't win with that defense right now. And it looks like Eli Manning is, kind of found his way a little bit after. He still leads the NFL and set with 17 interceptions, but he has a chance to really exploit a very, very bad Dallas defense right now.
Last but obviously not least, it is the main event of this weekend. Denver at New England, the old dog still running the yard, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. Who do you like and why?
Well, listen, first of all, keep in mind, Patrick, the greatest quarterback rivalry in the history of football, period. They're meeting for their 14th time. We've never had 2 quarterbacks, Super Bowl champions, NFL MVPs, statistical powerhouses, guys who are bona fide first ballot Hall of Famers midway into their career. We've never seen 2 guys like that meet so often in critical games that determine Super Bowl or conference champions and Super Bowl winners. My prediction, the winner of this game wins the AFC.
I like it. Going out of
And right now, I just think, in fact, the winner of Tom Brady Peyton Manning regular season battle has won the AFC title in 2001, 2003, 2004, 2006, 2007, 2009, and 2011. Think about that. The winner of the Tom Brady Peyton Manning regular season.
Yeah, say that one more time.
What's that?
I said just repeat those years one more time. I was trying to write them all down because you're on fire right now.
2001, 2003. 2004, 2006, 2007, 2009, 2011. The winner of the Tom Brady Peyton Manning regular season game went on to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl, winning 4 of those, by the way. So that's never ever happened. There's never been bigger, more impactful regular season meetings between 2 high profile players. In this case, I think the Patriots just don't have the horses to run with the Broncos. The Broncos are just a little bit better, and I think they'll be a little bit better Sunday night.
Kerry Byrne, that is awesome stuff. I will be sure to repeat this stat to the people again. That's beautiful stuff, history right there. You never, well, seriously, though, I mean, it's not a cause, but when you look at the history of the of this rivalry, winning that regular season game and look what happens to that team in the playoffs. I mean, that's some legit stuff right there.
It's unbelievable, and usually because the winner gets the home field advantage in the playoffs, you know, or they haven't met every single time, but more often than not, the winner got the, you know, the home field advantage in the postseason. By the way, if the Patriots win this, they're only a game behind the Broncos in the standings, but more importantly, the Broncos still have to win their division against a, you know, a very good Chiefs team. So we could be looking at a 14-2 Broncos team that has to go on the road wild card weekend. Think about that.
It is the NFL
so
in 2013.
A very pivotal game. The Patriots don't need it, actually, as much as the Broncos do.
All right, Kerry, well, we appreciate all the insight. I don't know about you, but after that, I need to smoke a cigarette, and I don't even smoke. So.
All right, Zach,
we'll talk
to
you.
Enjoy the game.
We'll be sure to talk to you before Thanksgiving because I want to get some of your Thanksgiving recipes as well because you know food.
Show, by the way, my high school has its alumni football game tomorrow, and I'm suiting up for the first time in 26 years. This could be ugly.
Yeah, make sure you take plenty of timeout. It's on the sidelines. So, all right,
we'll talk to you next week, man.
Thanks.
All right.
Kerry J. Byrne bringing the heat. Again, that stat, the Peyton Manning-Tom Brady Bowl. When they have played in the regular season, in 2001, 2003, 2004, 2006, 2007, 2009, and 2011, that's 7 years, the winning team of that regular season matchup has gone on to reach the Super Bowl.